And please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to the book of Luke, chapter 10. This evening, we continue Luke chapter 10, and we've come to verses 38 through 42. Hear now the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." That is God's word. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, as we come to your word, we are reminded that none of us are masters over your word, but that we are mastered by your word. Speak to our hearts by your word and spirit. Quicken our hearts to greater love and affection for you and for one another. Allow us to see more the grace of Christ at work among us. Allow us to see with the eyes of faith that we might behold our Savior. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 10 is a chapter that has ups and downs. In many ways, it's remarkably similar to Luke chapter 9. Both begin with the sending out of disciples. Both deal with similar themes. We might think back to the beginning of Luke chapter 10 as Jesus appoints those 72 that he's going to send out. And he's going to send them out not carrying everything that they could think of that they might need along the way. He tells them to travel light, to go quickly where they're going, to trust that the Lord will provide for their needs, that there is nothing that should impede the message of the gospel. And throughout the chapter 10 that we've gone through, Christ has heard the report of those 72 who come back with great joy. Christ has pronounced woe on the cities who have heard the gospel and have turned aside from the grace of the Lord. And Jesus himself has rejoiced that this is how the Father has decreed that his kingdom should advance, that it should come through the simple proclamation of the kingdom. And we've just left off with the parable of the Good Samaritan, where that really clever guy wanted to ask Jesus, "What do I need to do to earn eternal life for myself?" Which Jesus answers honestly and turns around to him so that he might understand that mercy is what Christ is calling for and what Christ gives freely in his gospel. And now we see a fitting bookend to how this chapter has begun, that Jesus is doing the same sort of thing he commanded those 72 to go out and do. And this is a story, a true story of Christ's ministry that we who live in a desperately busy age desperately need to hear. Because we find our own hearts reflected back to us in many ways. We see first in the story as we encounter it that there is a gracious welcome. And we think that everything's off to a good start, and indeed it is. And then we see the division between attention and distraction. Then Christ himself speaks lovingly to show us the difference between the many needs and the true need we have. And so we come to the first section of our text there in verse 38. Jesus has left from speaking to this lawyer. He's continued along his way. You might recall where he's going. Already in chapter 9, Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem to accomplish the exodus that he came to accomplish, to deliver his people from bondage to sin and death, that he should be the Paschal Lamb. And with that focus, Jesus continues on his mission. And he comes to a certain village. And in that village, he meets a woman named Martha. Now, if you're under a certain age, perhaps traveling has a degree of mystery to it, where your responsibility is perhaps to get in the car and to be in the car, and you'll arrive at a destination that has magically appeared before you, and there will be food that's been provided to you. There will maybe even be rest stops that have been planned out along the way that match your schedule. There might even be, if it's an overnight, a hotel that's been planned. And you walk into these things with childlike love, that they just happen for you. After a certain age, the mystery goes away a little bit. And you realize that unless you plan for it, it doesn't happen. If you don't pack a lunch, you're going to be hungry. If you forgot your credit card, you're going to have to go back and get it. If you didn't plan for a hotel, there may not be enough space. And we grow used to the idea that if we don't do it, it doesn't happen. That we can be and ought to be self-reliant completely. Now, this is not a call to be foolish in our travels, but it is a call to remember how we depend on the Lord. See, Jesus sent out his 72 and told them to trust that the Father would provide for them. And how does Jesus go about his ministry? He didn't send out his disciples with no spare cloaks while he himself gathered together an extra bundle of cloaks. No, he went out following the same instructions that he gave. And he found that the Lord provided for him exactly as he had promised. Jesus is bringing the good news of the kingdom to all who will hear and receive it, all of his own. And he trusts that his Father will provide for him. And his Father provides abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. Because the children of the kingdom of God respond to the needs of the kingdom. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and they respond. And here we see Martha welcoming Jesus into her house. It's unlikely that Jesus telegrammed ahead to let them know that he was coming. It's unlikely that Martha had a plan on Monday that Friday Christ would be in her presence. But Jesus came to the village, and Martha responded and provided the Savior a place to stay. God provides for the needs of his children. And he provides in many ways. What a joy to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord, to show the mercy of the true and living God where it's needed. You see, if the story stopped right here in verse 38, the picture we would have is of Jesus, the eternal second person of the Trinity, laying aside his divine prerogatives as we are taught in Scripture, entrusting himself to the Father, to the one who judges justly, and the Father providing graciously everything that the Son needs for his mission, and that the Spirit is the one who brings all this about, and that he does this by calling individuals into the service of the living God. And that by itself is a wonderful picture of the covenant community that we have, that the triune God is active in our midst. Can you imagine being the one who is out and about doing your weekly grocery shopping when news comes, that's Jesus coming to our village. We've heard about him. And you say, I have a spare room. I'm going to see if he needs a place to stay. Perhaps Jesus came up to her and said, I need a place to stay. Do you have a spare room? Perhaps she went up to Christ. We don't know. But as believers, it's good to be prepared. How is it that God is allowing us to minister? How is it that God prepares us for those moments of life when a brother or sister in Christ comes up to us and says, "I need help. I need a place." It's a joy to be an instrument in the hands of the living God. Likewise, we're called to be on the lookout for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The image we have time and time again in Scripture is not of individual Christians standing alone against a flood and onslaught of the world, but rather the image we have is of a group of believers called together who watch over one another with the love and mercy of the Savior who is governing and guiding all things according to His good pleasure. And in fact, much of this work actually falls under a church office. Particularly, this is the kind of work that falls under the oversight of the deacons. But it's not work that is done exclusively by deacons. We see, in fact, that gifted, called, and ordained men are given the office of deacon to oversee the mercy ministry in the church, and yet Christians all have the responsibility and the ability to provide according to the diaconal needs in our midst. And it's a great joy to be able to participate in that work. Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 25 when he describes the separation of the sheep and the goats and the good works that the believers didn't even know they were doing. He describes that as providing for Christ himself. And when those believers respond and say, "When did we ever help you, Jesus?" He says, "As often as you did it to the least of these, you did this for me." We serve the Lord Christ. That is the joy of service in the congregation of the saints. Just imagine how proud Martha must have been, how honored she would have been to have Jesus staying in her house. What would you do if Jesus was coming to stay in your house? If your experience of hosting people is anything like my own inclination toward hosting people, it would be a busy time of getting ready if Jesus was coming to your house. You might even be willing to take the day off work to make sure that everything is right. You might make sure that the best bed is prepared, that there are fresh linens ready, that there are nice fluffy towels in the bathroom. You might go grocery shopping a little bit extra and make sure that your favorite meals, the ones you're best at, are ready to be cooked. You might even bake a cake. You might have a whirlwind cleaning extravaganza. You might even go above and beyond the ordinary cleaning so that it's not just pushing things into a closet that nobody will ever look into. Maybe you're going to actually organize and make sure that your home is inspection ready for when Christ comes. That's the very attitude that we see with Martha. The idea that this is a time that she needs to do everything. So we see that in our second section of the text in verses 39 and 40 with this division between attention and distraction. You see, Martha has a sister who doesn't get any lines given to her by Luke. Luke doesn't record what Mary says, but we know that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. See, Jesus didn't come to Martha's house to be served. He came to serve. And he didn't come to Martha's house so that he could kick up his feet and relax while Martha was going to carry the lion's share of everything. He didn't come so that he could flip on the television and watch the game and see what hors d'oeuvres come out in front of him. No, he came to serve, and he did exactly that. And he taught in her house. And he didn't just teach the way that was culturally acceptable. Commentators have noted that it would be very unusual to have a woman sitting at the feet of a rabbi able to sit in that proximity and be taught directly by a rabbi. And yet Christ teaches Mary. She sits directly at his feet and she is enraptured with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can teach her personally. She simply couldn't pull herself away. Martha, however, was beginning to fume a little bit. Maybe you can identify. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and it needs to happen quickly. Where is that sister of mine? Doesn't she know all the things that need to go on? There she is, sitting down, listening at the feet of Jesus. Maybe you've had that kind of a Thanksgiving, that kind of a family holiday where there's the great joy of getting everybody together and you're so excited that everybody's going to be together, but don't take the time to enjoy it because there's too much to do. There's a turkey that isn't going to cook itself. There are sweet potatoes that simply won't turn into souffle unless somebody does it. There's just no more space in the kitchen, but there is no shortage of people coming to the kitchen to ask for more pickles and olives. And it's frustrating. Can't you see that I'm trying to get everything ready? Can't you see that either I would like you to help or stay out of the way, but I'd really like you to help, and please help somewhere else? We have that experience that Martha was going through. Isn't there just some way that everything can get done? How many times will Jesus come to my house? And you can practically hear Martha's frustration when she stands next to her sister to address Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her. Tell her then to help me. Some time must have elapsed. This is a bold request from Martha. She could have said, Lord, I am concerned for all the serving that needs to be done. Could you please ask if my sister would help me? Or she could have addressed Mary directly. Mary, there's a lot going on. I would like some help, please. Could you please help me? But what she actually said is far more telling, and it cuts directly into our own hearts. Don't you care, Lord, that I have gone out of my way to help you? Don't you recognize the strain and the anxiety that I'm going through, that you've brought by coming to my house? I'm glad you're here, but this is a lot to deal with. Don't you want to fix it? How often is that what's on our own hearts as we come to the Lord? Lord, I'm going out of my way to serve you. Don't you see how hard I'm working for you? The least you could do is make it easier for me. And though we may perhaps not be so bold as to pray exactly like that, it sneaks into our hearts. But how different was Mary's posture? She presumably knew all of the social cues. She presumably knew all the things that were expected of a host or a hostess with company, but she could not overcome her contentment with simply hearing the teaching of Christ. Are you content with the voice of Jesus? Are you content to sit at the feet of Christ and hear him speak to you through his word? So that we might be like that scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, who is like a master of the house, who brings out of his treasure what is old and new. See, the teaching of Jesus Christ is a treasure beyond worth. Because the one who is wise lays hold of that teaching, and in that teaching we find Christ himself. And in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That as Christ teaches us, he teaches us to come to him by faith, to rely on Him for all of our needs, that we can come to Him with our needs and our anxieties. We can come to Him with our frustrations and our doubts, and in Him we have a sympathetic high priest. And Jesus graciously responds to Martha, and we see that in verses 41 and 42. Martha has just had a bit of an outburst. If she could rewind and rephrase it, she very well might have. But just see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ on display with how He answers Martha. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha." And firstly, we see that Jesus has absolutely no difficulty remembering her name. We might gloss over that too quickly, but Jesus knows us by name. Jesus had come to this village. Martha had invited him to her home. And Jesus knew her. And He knew her well enough to call her by name. Jesus knows His sheep by name. He knows you by name. And His word speaks to you particularly. And He speaks with the comfort and graciousness that He addresses Martha. He's used to people fretting about. He's used to people getting a little bit frazzled around Him. You might recall back in John chapter 2, when Jesus began His ministry, when he went out to the Cana wedding, and there was a little bit of a problem because the wine was running out, and it was going to be a bit of a social faux pas for everybody involved, and everyone's getting a little bit anxious, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes to Him and says, "Aren't you going to fix this?" Jesus is used to people fretting about Him. Or maybe you remember back only a chapter ago in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus was teaching and crowds were gathering and the disciples came to Him and they were a bit frazzled. They "Lord, these people are going to want food. Send them somewhere." Jesus is used to people fretting about. He's used to His followers being a bit frazzled. He's used to people coming to Him with needs. He's used to problems that seem insurmountable to us, but that are solidly under His feet. And how does Jesus respond when He's fretful? How does Jesus respond to you when you're fretful? He talks to you by name. "Martha, Martha." It's hard not to slow down when your name is said twice. It's not a tactic we use very often. It's not very familiar to us. And indeed, Jesus doesn't name many people twice in Luke's gospel. But this is how Jesus arrests her attention. How He gets her undivided attention, just like Mary had been paying attention to Him. He doesn't say, "Whoa, slow down, Martha." He doesn't say, "You need to calm down." He simply says, "Martha." And He reminds her that she is known to the Lord Christ. And in so doing, He prepares her heart for what He has to say. See, the problem isn't that they were running out of towels in the bathroom, or that the hors d'oeuvres were running low, or that the water was nearly gone. The problem is that Martha is anxious and troubled about many things. Are you anxious and troubled about many things? It's easy in our own sort of scattershot of anxiety to come to the Lord and to give Him everything that's bothering us, all the while neglecting the problem that we have, neglecting the heart problem, that we don't bring the simple fact that we are anxious and troubled to Him. But we have a great high priest who knows our needs, who knows our heart, and He has the answer that we need to hear. He says to Martha, "You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. He says, you're concerned about all these things, things that do need to get done, but they shouldn't occupy your anxiety. They shouldn't cause you to be troubled. There is one necessity here. You need to know Jesus Christ. See, that's what Mary had chosen, to sit at the feet of Jesus and know Christ Jesus as he revealed himself. And she had great contentment merely at sitting at the feet of Christ. It's hard not to hear the echoes of Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. God's people have a sympathetic high priest. We have an audience before the throne of grace. It's hard not to come to the Lord with our needs. And God invites us to come to him. He invites us to come to him with our needs. Have you called out to the Lord? Have you pled with the Lord for mercy? Know that he inclines his ear to you. Come to the Lord through our Savior. Know the peace that surpasses all understanding. And of this, Jesus has more to say. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And notice that Jesus does not say, your sister has chosen a better portion. This is not a comparative statement. This is a statement of absolute. Martha had chosen to be so busy that she couldn't listen to Jesus, but Mary had chosen Jesus himself. And Jesus will not be taken from her. Do we recognize that this is how Christ addresses us? That as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, a work brought about by the Holy Spirit of the triune God, that we receive Christ himself, and he will not be taken from us. We do not receive a temporary gift with Christ. We receive an eternal gift because we receive Christ himself. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. The good portion that you choose when you call upon the name of the Lord is yours forever because it is hidden in Christ himself. May that be the anchor of our confidence that we are united by grace through faith to Christ alone, who is our salvation. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is indeed living and active, that you search out the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, and we ask that you would apply your word to us, that we might know the grace of Christ. We ask that you would teach us to be a people who come to you with our needs, who are undistracted in our love for you. We ask that you would fill our hearts with gratitude for the love you have given to us in Christ Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.